I'm not going to read 2 Kings chapters 1 and 2 because we'd be here forever the way I read. Luke is going to explain it to us as we walk through those chapters.
Good morning. Glad to see you all here today. How many have enjoyed the lessons from the life and stories of Elijah? I have. I sure have. I have learned a lot, and today we will learn more lessons from the end of Elijah's life here on earth. My prayer is to receive the spirit of Elijah. I know my medical ministry would really, really benefit from it, as well as my patients. I would love to heal people of all their ailments, let alone raise someone from the dead, like Elijah did. What part of Elijah's spirit would you like to receive? After thinking things through, I want to be in heaven with Jesus way more than doing any miracles, and for all my friends, relatives, and even my enemies to be with Jesus. I have really enjoyed preaching from the Bible, taking these stories verse by verse, and seeing what lessons God has for me to learn, and how I can improve myself through these lessons and avoid the pitfalls that I seem to fall into. Now, today's sermon. Elijah, Part 3. Persistence and Truth is the title. 2 Kings 1, verses 1 and 2. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through the lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, and was sick. And he sent messengers, and he said unto them, Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Imagine he was pretty broken up. What lessons can we learn from here? First, accidents happen. Bad things in this sinful world happen. Before I go any further, I want to tell you a little story. This summer, we had the privilege of going out to Iowa and cleaning out the family farm. And not too many people look forward to that job. But in all the things that was not pleasant, there was a lot of gems. And this here is one of them. This is Lydia, Barb's grandmother, and she was a teacher, and she wrote Lydia's Memoirs, a little story about her growing up and her life. And I'm going to read a little excerpt from this that illustrates this, what happened in that story. On the cold, windy morning of March 14, 1911, the old barn burned. We children watched from the southeast bedroom window. Mama and Papa had just finished the morning chores. Mama had just left the barn, and as she turned around, she discovered the roof was on fire. Of course, there was no fire trucks as there are now. All they could do is watch it burn. Papa opened the horse barn door. The fire was so close, he got his eyebrows singed. One horse walked out after the fire burned off the rope that had tied her. She was all that was saved from a herd of around 20 cows plus calves. Also burned was a cattle shed south of the barn, which had recently been built. I remember Mr. Payne and Ethel Sweat coming out to take pictures of the ruins. The horse that was saved had a colt that spring, but that summer they were struck by lightning and both killed. Bad things happen in this earth because we live in a sinful world. And I can't explain why, out of that herd, the horse that was saved, why it died as well as its colt from lightning. We would have loved to hear about the horse living through and being a servant to their family, but it didn't happen. Anyway, bad things happen in this sinful world. When these things happen to us, from who should we seek help? Well, I want to tell you, never, ever go to the heathen for an answer. This guy, Ahasuerus, wanted an answer or a miracle for his health from Beelzebub. Do you know who Beelzebub is? Let me turn to the New Testament, Luke 11:14-15. One day Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute, and when the demon was gone, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowds were amazed, but some of them said, "It is by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, that he drives them out." In the dictionary, Beelzebub is listed as Satan himself, the prince of the demons. There's many other texts I wrote down, but I'm not going to take the time to read. Matthew 12:24, Mark 3:22 also talk about who Beelzebub is. We are about to see what the true God of Israel thought about that. 2 Kings 1:3-4. But the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go and inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come up from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." And Elijah departed. The Lord could not stand idle on this one issue. First of all, Ahaziah was the king of Israel, God's people. Secondly, he wanted an answer from the devil, who was the deceiver of this world, and the reason for the need of God's people, who the Savior was to come from. And lastly, this was a total insult to the true God of Israel. Acts the Apostles says, "Through spiritualism, many of the sick, the bereaved, the curious, are communicating with evil spirits. All who venture to do this are on dangerous ground. The word of truth declares how God regards them. In ancient times, he pronounced a stern judgment on a king who had sent for counsel to a heathen oracle. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou hast gone up, but thou shalt surely die." What other God appointed king of Israel made a terrible, fatal mistake to seek counsel from the witch of Endor? Saul. He did the same thing, and here this king turns around and does the same thing too. Okay, back to 2 Kings 1:5-6. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, "Why are ye now turned back?" And they said unto him, "There came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, Go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God of Israel that thou seekest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." Did Elijah give this message to the king Ahasuerus himself? No. Through the guidance of God, he found out what these messengers were going to do and intercepted them from doing this terrible act. Would you not have been able to put two and two together if you were the king and realize that you had insulted the true God of Israel? After all, Prophet Elijah told the messengers that plainly, who in turn told Ahasuerus that themselves. Let's see what was Ahasuerus' response. 2 Kings 1:7-8. And he said unto them, "What manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words?" And they answered him, "He was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins." Who was he describing? Elijah. And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." Now the king was curious about who could have made this prophecy. Their description of the man was Elijah the Tishbite. I am sure he knew who he was. He was the prophet of the true God, the one that called fire down from heaven and burned up the altar on Mount Carmel, the one who killed 450 prophets of Baal, the one who prophesied the 3-year drought in Israel that caused so much suffering, and the one that raised to life the widow's son from the dead. Boy, if you didn't know who he was after that, you had your head in the sand. The one that is always correct because he follows, worships, and obeys the true God of Israel. 2 Kings 1, 9 and 10. And the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. That's Elijah was sitting on the top of a hill. And he spake unto Elijah, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. After realizing what the true prophet of God Elijah said, the king Ahasuerus was determined to go against what God had just told him by silencing the man of God, Elijah. Wow, was he ever determined to do evil? Do we do evil by silencing the word of God in our lives? Do not ever try to make things easier for yourself by ignoring, by avoiding, by silencing the word of God in your life. What a good, good lesson for us today. 1 Kings 11, 1, 11, and 12. And again he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. Boy, he was a little obstinate, wasn't he? And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be the man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. How would you like to be in the king's army and sent out to get Elijah the prophet? Whatever weapon you have, it will not stand up to fire from heaven. Did you know that when the devil and his hosts of men with all their modern armies and weapons come against the New Jerusalem, the holy city, what weapon will God use on them? Fire from heaven. We as saints will stand back and watch God fight for us. This is the second army unit that tries to capture Elijah, and God fights for Elijah. 2 Kings, verse 13 and 14. And they sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. He was pretty persistent, wasn't he? And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Boy, that's a better way to approach him. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. Now, this captain was a smart captain, right? He acknowledged who was in control here. He realized that Elijah was a prophet of the true God and treating him with the honor and respect that God should have been given. That is a good lesson for all of us. Respect God, honor him, and treat God's messengers with honor and respect too. Verse 15 through 18. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken, and Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. So not only did he pronounce judgment on him and give him death and not heal him, he didn't even allow his acts to be recorded among the kings. The angel told Elijah to go ahead and see Ahaziah and give him the message in person. So Elijah went to the king and told him what the Lord had told him to say. And King Ahaziah did not get better and died. I wondered as I read this, with all the things that Elijah did, showing he was a true prophet, and he realized that himself, because he acknowledged that who Elijah the Tishbite was, and the fact that Elijah was always correct, why did he not turn to the true God of Israel and do what Elijah said was the right thing to do? Are we that stubborn today? Or should I say, are we that dumb today? We need to learn those lessons. It is that simple, friends. Obey the true God and follow Jesus, and you will not only be blessed here on earth, but you will have blessings for eternity. That is the lesson that I see here. Okay, 2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Elijah was attesting Elisha, asking Elisha to wait while he goes to Bethel. Did you notice what Elisha said? He will not leave Elijah's side. Do you remember someone else in the Old Testament that did not leave Naomi's side and obtained a big blessing for staying with her mother-in-law? That was Ruth. Now Elisha wants and values Elijah's blessing. Verses 4 to 5. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thee today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. This was the second test. Stay, rest, relax, sleep in, watch some TV, take it easy, enjoy life, while Elijah goes to Jericho. It would have been so easy to take the rest, but Elisha wanted to be a faithful servant to the prophet Elijah. 2 Kings 2, verses 6. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. A third time, Elisha was offered to stay, to be pampered, to relax, while Elijah went on to the Jordan River. Education, page 59, says, In his early labor of guiding the plow, that's what Elisha did, Elisha had learned not to fail or to be discouraged. And now that he had set his hand to the plow in another line of duty, he would not be diverted from his purpose. As often as the invitation to turn back was given, his answer was, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." Shouldn't we be that determined to spend time with God on his holy day, the Sabbath, and determine that whatever the excuse may be, we will go to church, spend time with God and his fellow believers? That's my lesson from that. 2 Kings 2, verses 7 and 8. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they went over on dry ground. Who else smote the water and went over on dry ground? Moses and the Israelites. God sure blessed Elijah and gave him power that I would like to have. I wish I could heal like Elijah, bring fire down from heaven like Elijah, walk across rivers on dry ground that parted the waters right in front of me. Elijah was 100% faithful to God, and God blessed his faith. 2 Kings 2, verses 9 and 10. And it came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what shall I do for thee, before I be taken away from thee?" And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou seest me when I am taken from thee, it shall be unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so." What a request! A double portion of Elijah's spirit, his powers, his faith, his faithfulness, his trust in God. Did Elijah say, "Sure thing"? No. He said, "That is a hard thing to grant, and basically it is up to God to grant that wish." If God allowed Elisha to see Elijah be taken from him, then the request would be given. But if not, then no double portion for Elisha. Okay, 2 Kings 2, verses 11 through 13. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, just split them apart. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. This is the scene with Elijah being taken to heaven that is painted and drawn throughout many books about the Old Testament. Have any of you seen paintings of Elijah being taken to heaven in a chariot of fire with horses of fire, with Elisha picking up his mantle that fell from above? I've seen those pictures. What a dramatic scene. Prophets and Kings, page 227, says, "Elijah was a type of the saints who will be living on earth at the time of the second advent of Christ, and who will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, without tasting death." What a victory in Christ we will have. We will say, "It was all worth it." My plea is to be faithful, and it will be worth more than you can ever imagine. 2 Kings 2, verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Did you see what just happened? Elisha saw Elijah depart from him. As a faithful servant, God gave him the powers of Elijah, not just because he asked for them, but because of his faith in God. This was the first miracle Elisha performed. It wasn't for show because nobody was around to see it, but it was a big booster to his faith in what God would do through him in the future. Boy, if you could cast the mantle and split the waters and walk across on dry ground, my faith would just, I can do anything through God. 2 Kings 2, 15 through 18. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah thus rests on Elijah. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, Behold now, there be with thee thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest, peradventure, the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up, and cast him upon some mountain, or into some valley. And he said, Ye shall not send. And when they urged him until he was ashamed, he said, Send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again unto him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, Did I not say unto you, Go not? Have you ever begged and begged to do something that your parents said wouldn't happen? And in the end they said, I told you so. Elisha must have came back with a glow that showed God had chosen him as his prophet. Yet they had to search the area for 3 days to be assured that God really did take Elijah to heaven. 2 Kings 2 verses 19 through 22. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cask, and put salt therein. And they brought it unto him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed the waters, and there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. This was Elisha's second miracle. He introduced the first water purifier, which has set a record for the longest lasting. It is still working to this day. The miracle of the water purifier was the Lord, not the salt. In the future, I am going to do some sermons on the miracles of Elisha. It will take some time to sort them out because there are so many, but also so many lessons to learn from what God did through Elisha. 2 Kings 2, verses 23 through 25. And they went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back, and looked at them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she-bears out of the wood, and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. What an example of how our behavior and respect should be for God's chosen prophet. Prophets and Kings, page 236 says, Had Elisha allowed the mockery to pass unnoticed, he would have continued to be ridiculed and reviled by the rabble, and his mission to instruct and to save in a time of great national peril might have been defeated. This one instance of terrible severity was sufficient to command respect throughout his life. For 50 years he went in and out of the gate of Bethel, and to and fro in the land, from city to city, passing through crowds of idle, rude, desolate youth, but none mocked him or made light of his qualifications as the prophet of the Most High. Even kindness should have its limits. Authority must be maintained by a firm severity, or it will be received by many with mockery and contempt. The so-called tenderness, the coaxing and indulgence used toward youth by parents and guardians, is one of the worst evils which can come upon them. In every family, firmness, decision, positive requirements are essential. Reverence, in which the youth who mocked Elisha were so lacking, is a grace that should be carefully cherished. Every child should be taught to show true reverence for God. Never should his name be spoken lightly or thoughtlessly. Angels, as they speak it, veil their faces with reverence. Should we, who are fallen and sinful, take it upon our lips? Well, what lessons have we learned today through the end of Elijah? Number one, don't seek, don't mess around, don't dabble, don't do anything with evil spirits. That is the path of destruction, not only here on earth, but eternity. Even putting yourself in the area, you are treading on dangerous ground. Only stay connected with the one and only true God. Lesson number two. In all that you do, in all your labor, learn not to be discouraged and be faithful to duty. This will carry you well throughout your entire life in all that you do, whether for God or for your fellow man. Number three, ask for and seek God's Spirit to come upon you so that you can do God's will in whatever you do, and through faith, God will accomplish miracles through you. And lastly, number four, do not ever mock or disrespect any of God's workers. This is not only bad for you, but a very bad example for anyone around you. I want to thank you for joining me in the study of Elijah that moved into the times and life of Elisha. So many lessons have we learned that will keep us moving toward the ultimate goal, to be with Jesus for eternity. My prayer for you is that you hold on to these lessons, keep the faith, finish the race, and stay faithful to your Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for the stories of Elijah and the stories of Elisha to come. And we ask that we learn these lessons so that we can not only have the blessings that you are willing to pour out for us here on earth, but the blessings of eternity to be with you. In thy holy name, amen.